As a family, we are blown away to belong to such an incredible church. So again, I appreciate you allowing us to go away. It was a blessed trip. It was a tough trip with all that's going on with Pastor Mark as well. So please continue to pray for New London. He hasn't got long, so just pray. Pray for them in New London as well. And again, he's asked me to do the funeral when that time comes. So I appreciate the church being patient with us. If I've got to go at short notice, again, just thank you for just being you and just being such a blessing to us. Hosea chapter 10, and we're in verse 4. Last time, it was harvest time when we looked at this, and we looked at the attitude of ingratitude in the first part of Hosea chapter 10, and we saw Israel's unfruitfulness and faithfulness and ungodliness. This week, I want to look at breaking up the fallow ground. We live in a day and age where the lost have hardened their hearts. And it's difficult sometimes to break up the fallow ground of those who are lost. Now, Paul talks about it as having a conscience seared with a hot iron. If you ever see a piece of beef going onto a pan and you just put the beef on quickly, one side, and switch it over to the other side, that is searing it. And if you cut it then, you can see how there's this cooked layer right the way around, but inside is still raw. And that's what having your conscience seared with a hot iron is, that cooked part. You can't penetrate, you can't get through. So how do we break up that fallow ground? What is the cause of that fallow ground? What is the consequence of that fallow ground? And how do we conquer that fallow ground? But there's an application for the saved as well. Because we can become hard-hearted over time. We can become hard-hearted when it comes to the Word of God. We can become hard-hearted when it comes to church attendance. And you know, one thing this lockdown has done, it has caused people to be hard-hearted towards attending church. Because it's easy to watch it online. And we're grateful that we have the online service. We're grateful that for those who can't make it, for those who are unwell, for those who are not able to make it for whatever reason, that they can watch it online. But it can become an excuse, a convenience. It's far easier to watch it in our PJs than it is to actually make the effort to get up and get out and come to church. But we should make the effort, especially in the days. In what days? In the days that are approaching. We need one another. We need the Word of God. We need the fellowship of the saints. We need to be prepared for the battle that is lying ahead. You don't need to be a deep theological person to recognize the fact that things are ramping up outside these walls, that things are headed towards the Lord Jesus Christ's return. So as a church, we need to be prepared. But we can become hard-hearted to the things of God. We can become hard-hearted to one another. We can become hard-hearted when it comes to our thought, our speech, our ways, our actions. So even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know what to do to break up the fallow ground. If you look at, we read the first three verses last time. Well, let's just read the whole chapter. Chapter 10, verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth-Aven. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof shall that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on the altars, and they shall say in the mountains, cover us, and the hills fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood at the battle of Gibeah against the children of iniquity, did not overtake them. It is my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plough, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy ways, in the multitude of the mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise amongst thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbor in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day and for this time together, Lord. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to recognize when we have become hard-hearted, when our ground has become fallow, as it were, and that you would enable us through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the presence of God in our lives to break up that fallow ground, that we might be the believer that we ought to be in this day and age, that we might be the believer we have to be in this day and age, that we might be the Christian that you desire us to be in this day and age. Father, we recognize that through trials and troubles, we will either grow better or we will grow bitter. And Father, I pray that you would help us once again as a church. We have come through so much in our time, but we pray that you would help us once again to come through these storms, through these valleys, through these difficulties that each and every one of us is facing. And Father, we'll be mindful to give you the glory for it. So Lord, if there's something in our hearts that ought not to be there, help us to break up that fallow ground. If there's one listening to this message today that is lost, their heart is already fallow and it needs to be broken up so that the word of God can penetrate, that they might come to a realization that they are lost and in need of saving. And Father, I pray that you would have your will and way among the lost today and among your children. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So what causes fallow ground in our lives? The tongue can cause fallow ground. Now, again, we are speaking about the lost and about those who are saved. And our tongue can cause our ground to become fallow. When people become hard-hearted towards the Lord, we can also become hard-hearted towards other people as well. Remember, the closer we get to the Lord, the more like him we become. And when we look at the way in which the Lord dealt with people, you know, there are many people that we come in contact with day after day after day that we would really like to give them a piece of our mind. And let's be honest, when somebody says, oh, I could give them a piece of my mind, you really can't afford to give up that much. The further away from the Lord we get, the more like the world we become. And the more like the world we start to act. Our tongue is an indication of how fallow our ground is. You know, the way we talk indicates how close we are to the Lord. Does lying just kind of slip off our tongues easily? And we don't have to be taught how to lie. You know, a lost world will think nothing of it. A lost world will think nothing about lying, swearing, cheating, stealing, whatever it is. And the tongue is an indication of where somebody is. Because of the way in which Israel spoke, God's blessings were replaced by God's judgment. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Their yea was no longer a yea. Their nay was no longer a yea. Whatever came off their lips was just lies and deceit. The treaties of his people had no strength because the character of those who made those treaties was weak. Look, we see it in the world today. And I'll be honest with you. Almost 2 years ago, when our Prime Minister stood in Downing Street and said, nation, you know, we need to do this. We need to stay home. We need to protect the NHS. We need to look after one another. And you were like, yeah, we do, and we need to do this, and we'll follow you, and what a leader, and great, okay, we'll do this. And believe a word the man says. Because lies just come so easily to our politicians. And I think that's part of the CV. What qualifies you to be a politician? I can spin a yarn. I can dodge a question at 1,000 pieces. It does my head in when they say, you know, I'm not being political. I'm just looking at what's in the world today. Regardless of what you think of the man, when Donald Trump was asked a question, he answered the question. Didn't do himself any favors, but he answered the question. You ask a politician a question, he's like, that's not the question you're asking. Isn't it? I didn't realize you were a mind reader as well as a politician. I'm sure that this is the question. Did you have a Christmas party? Well, what constitutes a party? No, that's not the question. But that's the thing. As much as we look at politicians now and think, well, we can't believe a word they say, if we as believers start acting like that in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we talk, then the lost world will view us just as we view some politicians. The fact that I can't believe a word you say. Your word has no traction. Why? Because your actions don't back up your words. Actions speak louder than words. We can say all that we want, but if our actions don't back up our words, it doesn't matter what we say. You know, we can be the most hateful, vengeful, nasty person in work, and then we can turn and say, do you want to come to church and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? People will be like, what? Israel's words had no strength. The word of the government in Israel had no traction. It was no good, and that just got them into trouble with Assyria, and it led to the destruction of the northern kingdom. The king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. You might say, well, what has what the king of northern Israel said to the king of Assyria got to do with this? God brought judgment upon Israel because of the way they spoke. If we want God's blessings on our lives, we need to guard our tongue. Remember, the tongue might only be a small part of our body, but it does the greatest damage. James said, it's only a small rudder steers the ship. A small piece of wood at the back of a big vessel is all that is needed to turn the whole thing and change a course of direction. Do we keep our word? Do we keep our promises? Is our yea, yea, and our nay, nay, or do we lie so easily? If we keep doing that, then our heart will just get harder and harder and harder and harder. The world doesn't think twice. Those who are lost don't think twice about lying, cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain. They don't think twice about it. That comes natural to them. And as a result, their heart is hard towards the things of God. And therefore, they need that fallow ground broken up. When a person willingly hurts or deceives others, then our heart is going to turn cold towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, where iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Solomon said in Proverbs 26, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. God hates lying. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And our desire ought to please the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are our words pleasing to the Lord? If they're not, that can cause fallow ground. But not only can our tongue cause fallow ground, our testimony can cause fallow ground. In verse 9, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. You know, there was a shameful event took place at Gibeah where a Levite's wife was raped and murdered. And at Gibeah, the tribe stood together in punishing the tribe of Benjamin in that sin. Since that time, God's people persisted in rebellion and disobedience. Embracing sinful habits will cause our lives to simply become fallow ground. Our testimony ought to stand out. Look, the world today is getting darker and darker and darker. So in retrospect, our lives should be shining brighter and brighter and brighter. The church is already viewed as a bunch of crackpots. You're already viewed as bigoted. You're already viewed as a whole host of hateful and vengeful things. But just let your light shine. Let your testimony so shine that people have no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life. When we go through the trials of life and we're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, you are the light. So therefore, the tunnel doesn't have to be as long as we make it to be, because we are already that light in that tunnel. And when we go through those trials, and when we go through those difficulties, and when we suffer that loss, we are only able to do that in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will see that testimony. They'll notice that testimony. They'll see that light. But when our testimony starts to become hardened towards the Lord, you know, when things go wrong in our lives and then we blame God. Well, God owes me. This is not fair that I'm going through this. How dare he? That wasn't Job's attitude. You know, when Job's wife said, oh, just curse God and die. And sometimes as believers, we do that. And it's not wrong to say, why, Lord, why is this going on in my life? But it is wrong to start blaming God. Saying, this is not fair. Who do you think you are? I can't believe this has happened. Because our testimony needs to shine bright. Why? Because a lost person may never pick up the word of God. A lost person may never darken the doors of the church. A lost person will come in contact with you. And if we lose our testimony, then our lives just become fallow ground. Worthless. Pointless. God has saved us for a purpose. God has saved us for a reason, that we might reach a lost world with the gospel of Christ. God has saved us so that we can bring more to the cross of Calvary, so that they can see what Christ did for them upon that cross, so they can enjoy the glories of heaven that we look forward to. But when we allow sinful habits to come into our hearts, it doesn't take much then. It's only a small step. The prodigal son only asked for his inheritance. That was only a small step. And then he became popular with his friends. And then, you know, he was living at large. And then he was in the far country. And then he was in the pigsty. Only a little step at a time. But suddenly he was so far away from the father's house that he was unrecognizable. When we allow sinful habits to creep back into our lives, and let me tell you something, the world is like a magnet to the flesh of the believer. Why? Because the world wants that flesh back. The flesh part of us still wants to be in that world. Why? Because that's where the pleasures are, the pleasures of sin that only last for a season. But when we allow those sinful habits to creep back into our lives, we become fallow ground. Our testimony is no good for anything. It's certainly not going to reach a lost person, because a lost person will look at our lives and say, what's the point in that? You just live like me, talk like me, do everything that I do, but go to church on a Sunday. Well, I don't need to go to church for that nonsense. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. That word mischief there can also be rendered as misery, distress, or calamity. I'm sure, like me, there are people here that wandered into the world due to their Christian walk. And it's not fun. You think it is at the time, maybe for a moment. But then, when the Lord starts convicting you and you realize the misery that you're actually in and the mischief you've fallen into, testimony is good for nothing. Not only can our tongue and our testimony cause fallow ground, but our temperament can cause fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord, the last part of verse 12, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Another cause of fallow ground, of a hardened heart, is our temperament. When we become lethargic to the things of God, when we become lazy to the things of God. Live streaming is brilliant for those who cannot make it to church. But live stream can be the bane of a church's life when people choose not to come to church because it's easier to watch online. That's what's happened. It's just easier to watch online. It's easier to watch it from the comfort of home. Oh, the weather's not good. I'm too tired. I've slept late. Christ didn't die for Facebook. Christ didn't die for YouTube Live or for webcast. It says, husband, love thy wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Ah, yeah, but the church is not the building, it's the people. Well, let me tell you something. God has given us a building to meet in as the church. And we ought to be there. We ought to be there every time the doors are opened. But we can become lethargic. And let's be honest, the last 2 years has been a recipe for lethargy in everybody's lives. You know, let me ask you this question. During lockdown, for those who work from home, how many of you spent the whole day, at least once, spent the whole day in your pajamas? Only one person willing to admit that. Nobody else spent the whole day in their pajamas through the whole of lockdown. Oh, you bunch of liars. It's really hard during lockdown. You put all your comfy clothes on. Everything had an elastic waist. And then lockdown ended and everything that didn't have an elastic waist, you realized didn't fit you anymore. But it is, it kind of bred lethargy, didn't it? It was like, well, we're at home, you know, we go out for our daily exercise. It didn't matter, Naronda, you could still keep your pyjamas on and go out for your daily exercise. And nobody batted an eyelid. If it was cold, you just kept your dressing gown on and went out for your walk. But we can become lethargic to the things of God. We can become lethargic to reading the scripture. We can become lethargic to praying. We can become lethargic to coming to church. And our temperament can cause our heart to harden, can cause fallow ground in our lives. Now that's natural for the world to be lethargic to the things of God, to the word of God, the place of God, the people of God. That's natural. So as a result, their temperament already causes their heart to be hard, causes that fallow ground. But we can become hardened by our spiritual neglect and idleness. And guess what? If we don't feed, we'll stop growing. If you've ever eaten too much, certain parts of the body grow. If you stop eating, certain parts of the body start to diminish. But we can be like that spiritually. If we don't feed upon the word of God, we won't grow. That's what happens. If we don't feed upon the word of God, it's impossible to grow. If we are not where we should be, we won't grow, and our temperament will cause our ground to become fallow. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. I've done it again. Resistance towards God's word will harden your heart. Highlighted the wrong thing and put it on the PowerPoint. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. What day? The day that the Lord is going to return. And can I say this to you without a shadow of a doubt? That day is drawing closer. And as a result of that day drawing closer, we ought to be more in church than we were before. But that's not what we see. And that's not just here in Bethany. That's not just here in Wales. That's across Christendom. Church numbers are dwindling. And we need a push. First of all, we need to get those who are saved back in church. We need a push, because we've got to get out and encourage those who are lost to get to church. Why? Because the day's approaching. The Lord's coming back. It's not. You see Russia ramping up now against Ukraine. You see China ramping up against Taiwan. The Lord's return is close. Let's not be lethargic to the things of God. Let's not allow our temperament to cause us to become hard-hearted and for our ground to become fallow. Pray without ceasing. Spiritual neglect will lead to sinful habits, and those sinful habits will take root in our lives, and they'll entangle us, and they will just keep us in bondage. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Don't allow your temperament, don't allow your any kind of lethargy towards the things of God to cause your heart to harden, to cause this ground to be fallow. Our temperament, our testimony, our tongue can cause fallow ground. So what are the consequences of this fallow ground? Hopelessness. Verses 5 and 6, the inhabitants of Samaria shall fear. They'll be carried to Assyria. Hopeless. What a hopeless situation. They'll be carried to, the inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth Aven. That just denotes a weakness and helplessness in their idols. They'd put all their faith and all their trust in the idols that they'd made with their own hands. And those idols were powerless to stop the Assyrians coming against them. Those idols were powerless to protect them. They were hopeless. Why? Because they were focused on their idols. For all of those who are in the world who are lost without sin, they have a hopelessness because their hope is not in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we take our eyes off him, even when we're going through the valleys, even when we're going through the trials, even when we're going through tribulations, if we take our eyes off him and start looking inwardly, we will become exactly the same, hopeless. If our tongue, testimony, and temperament has caused our heart to be hardened towards the Lord and caused our heart to become fallow, we will be stuck in that air of hopelessness. Because we'll focus on the wrong things. We put our eyes in the wrong places. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. As good as a person is, as pleasant as a person is, as nice as a person is, in God's eyes, those who are lost are wicked. Why? Because they're not part of his family. Because if they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, and they've never been saved, the Lord referred to them as being of your father the devil. Now you might say, well, that's harsh words. That's the truth. And the sooner the lost realize that, the sooner they can do something about it and come to a saving knowledge of Christ and be part of the family of God and have the same hope that every single one of us has as a believer in Christ. I don't fear death. I'm not afraid to die. I'd like to go in my sleep. I'd rather be raptured with the Lord. That'd be perfect. I do think sometimes morbid thoughts, like when we're flying, I think, I wonder, at what point do you feel the pain of the impact if this plane falls out of the sky? I know, happy thoughts. You pass out before it hits the bottom. That's a long time to fall, like 40,000 feet. I mean, once you hit terminal velocity, that's it. You don't go any faster. But I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not like looking forward to the cause of it, but I'm not afraid of it. Why? Because I know Christ as my Savior. Because I know where I'll go. To be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. But for those who've never trusted Christ, there's a hopelessness. When you trust Christ, that peace and that strength can't be taken away from you. There's a peace that passes understanding. But not only is there a hopelessness with fallow ground, there's a helplessness. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on the altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. What does that sound like? That sounds exactly what it would be like in the days of the tribulation. And as Brother Andrew said, I think it was Wednesday night, the one sin that will not be in the tribulation will be unbelief. There'll be no atheists in the tribulation because they will know who's doing this. They'll know what is going on, and yet they will still refuse to call on God, and they would rather call on the rocks and the hills to fall upon them rather than call out to the Lamb of God, which would be the only one that could take away their sins. I just don't get it. I don't understand how somebody could listen to the gospel week after week after week after week and never come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can tell somebody of such hope and such help that is available to them and they would choose not to. Why? Because they're worried about other religions. They're worried about people in tribes that have never heard. They're worried about this, that, and the other. Listen, I know God has got all of that taken care of. What you need to worry about is you. Because when you stand before God, God won't say to you, right, about these tribes in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa and the Amazon. God will say, what have you done with my son? When there's that fallow ground, there's a helplessness. You know, I'm thankful that when we go through the most difficult times of our lives, there's help available. Why? Because the Lord has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Because the Lord has promised to be with us always. Because the Lord has promised us his peace. The Lord has promised us his strength. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. The Lord has promised us his peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. His peace passes all understanding. There's always help available to the child of God. All that Israel had to face because of their fallow ground was helplessness. Fallow ground, the consequences is helplessness. It was God's desire to chasten his people. It is my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride Judah. I shall make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. God will chastise his people for their double guilt, for their double sin. That's what the two furrows refers to. The double guilt or sin in view is probably their original guilt from their sin at Gibeah and their present guilt from their sin of idolatry at Bethel. God would chastise them because of their hard heart, and he'll do the same to us as well. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Israel may have got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. You know, when we start to wander from the Lord, the prodigal son lost what he had. He had the comfort of his father's house. He had the comfort of his father's blessings. He had all of that, but he wanted more. He got what he wanted, but lost what he had. Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never lose the presence of God, and we'll never lose our salvation, but we can certainly lose our fellowship with him. We can certainly lose the blessings that he has for us. Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Samson had a hard heart towards God's commands. And he lost his freedom and gained the restrictions and limitations that were placed upon him when his eyes were taken and he was caused to work for the Philistines. So how do we conquer this fallow ground? Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I've heard it said many times. I know Andrew Davis has mentioned this quite a few times, and repentance is not something that is preached too much in the church today, because we think, well, once a believer, or once you become a believer, you've already repented. Repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ, I'm a believer, therefore I no longer need to repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, my people, not my people, my people, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Repent. Turn from their wicked ways. In order to conquer fallow ground, there has to be a repentance. We are desperate for revival to come to Wales. We are desperate for revival to come to Bethany. We are desperate for revival, but it has to start in us. It has to start in our hearts. It has to start in our lives. It has to begin here. Judgment begins in the house of God, and we are the temple of God. Therefore, judgment not just starts in Bethany. Judgment starts here, and there has to be a repentance here. There has to be a willingness for God to step in, for us to leave control of our lives, for God to take over as the master of our ship. There has to be a turning from our ways to his ways. We can start to break up that fallow ground. We can start to get back to where we need to be with the Lord. Then we can receive the blessings of God. Then can we see God's face, and that righteousness can reign upon us. In order to reap blessings and goodness, you must sow blessings and goodness. It takes work to break up a fallow ground. You know me, I hate gardening. I hate gardening with a passion. I can't stand it. I'm more than happy to let Jo, even with her back condition, get down on her knees and I'm joking. I hate it. Why? Because it takes effort. It takes effort to turn the soil over. It takes effort to pull the weeds out. Why can't flowers grow like weeds? You wait till I see Eve in heaven. Do you want to take that fruit? I wouldn't have had to weed in the garden every 5 seconds. But it takes effort to keep the garden looking nice. It takes even more effort when that ground becomes hard. And then you've got to turn that soil over and break up that ground. It takes effort to break up the fallow ground in our lives. But you know what? In the summer when those flowers bloom and all of those colors and in the garden, is worth it. Because it looks fab. If we put the effort in to break up the fallow ground in our lives, can I say this? It will be worth it. Why? Because you can bloom for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. When we sow in righteousness, that concerns the relation of people to people. When we reap in mercy and we search for God, that's our relationship to God. But if we don't cultivate our heart, if we don't break up that fallow ground, guess what? Satan will cultivate it for us quite easily. How do we sow in righteousness? We got to be prepared. It takes effort. There has to be a preparation. The farmer will prepare the soil for the seed. He'll remove the hindrance. He'll soften the soil. And we have to be prepared. Can I ask this question? Were we prepared for the service today? Did we break up the fallow ground? Did we prepare to sow right so that we could come and receive what the Lord had in store for us this morning? Any hindrance in our lives ought to be removed. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He prepared his heart. And as a result, God blessed him. But not only in regards to sowing, there's preparing, there's walking. The farmer will walk the field. And he will throw the seed out upon the soil. He doesn't stay in one place. And we're to walk with God. Walking indicates a movement so that we can grow spiritually. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. There's a focus in the farmer's sowing. He doesn't just throw the seed haphazardly. He throws it in a specific prepared place. Why? So that the crop will yield. We are to bear fruit for his glory. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have that resolve to be focused on sowing the right things in our lives. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Focus on your race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there sowing, there's breaking. If we're going to conquer our hard-heartedness, then we have to break up the fallow ground, remove the hardness from our lives, and that's not easy. You know, when you break up a hard bit of soil, it is solid, and then there's stones to remove, and there's bits to remove. So you want really good soil in order for the crop or the plants or whatever it is to grow. Remove hardness from our lives. It's not easy to get rid of bitterness and anger and envy. But it's got to be done. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we are going to sow properly, then there has to be a sowing, a focusing, and a seeking. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, seek the Lord totally. Seek the Lord continually. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Seek him reverently. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Do we need to break up the fallow ground in our hearts today? It's going to take some effort. You know, we think Christianity is a breeze, so easy, but it's not. The Lord said in this world we will have trouble, we will have trials, we will have tribulation. And sometimes we can become hardened to the things of God when things don't go our way. But we need a continual effort to break up the fallow ground. To sow, to be focused, to seek the Lord. Church, if our hearts are being come hardened to the things of God, it's time to put the effort in to make sure that that fallow ground is broken up. If you were lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, then your ground is fallow already. And you need to come to Christ as your Savior, and he'll break up that fallow ground. And he will make such a difference in your heart and in your life. The lost world today needs to see the reality of Christ in our lives. Because he is real. He does make a difference. Even when we face the most difficult times in our lives, he's promised to never leave us. Even when we feel like we're about to fall apart and collapse, that's when the Lord gives us the strength that we need at the time we need it. Just when we feel like we can't go on, that's the time that the Lord picks us up and says, child, one more step. Let's make sure the world sees what Christ is and what he means to us as his children, that they might see his light from our lives and not the fallow crested ground of a done-in believer who has started to lose their way. Break up the fallow ground. And I can promise you this, God will receive the glory and God will rain down righteousness upon every child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. If there's areas of our lives that have started to suffer because of what's gone on in the world today, Lord, then we pray that you would help us. Help us to break up that fallow ground. Help us to be the believers we have to be, that we need to be in this day and age. Father, I pray once again for every single person that is suffering losses, suffering difficulty in their walk, that is going through such times of trial and tribulation. And Father, I pray that more than ever, we would feel you a peace and presence in our lives as we walk those dark valleys. Father, I'm thankful for the fact that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is always with us, that your strength is always available to us, and that your peace is always with us. So Father, I just ask now that you would help us as individuals, help us as a church to apply these words to our hearts and lives, and we'll be mindful to give you the glory for it. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and sing our last hymn together. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. We'll stand as we sing. In a word of prayer again, thank you so much, church, for looking after things while we were away, for putting the Christmas decorations up, and for taking care of Friday. Again, please be in prayer for Jan and family at this time, for Rossin and Chris and the family at this time. I know there are many others that are facing difficulties and trials and real tribulations. The devil is having a field day with the church at the moment, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So just continue to pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, and fulfill the law of Christ. And we're just so thankful that we're in a battle, but the Lord is the captain of our host. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. We'll close with a word of prayer. And I wonder if Jamie will just close the service out. Thanks, Jamie.
Of it, the doctor as well. Right, boys, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.